Episode 381, Another Animated Disaster, and Other News.
That's a long delay.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Ben Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono, and guess what, everyone? We're back. Our another exciting edition of Newsy Notes.
Usually on Tuesday evenings, Ben and I get together and we do the main topic first now, and we do news second.
Yeah.
But this time I knew we needed a little bit of time to work out some kinks. Yeah, we were off last week, had to work out the kinks, and so I was reading the title that we had prepared, and I did not have the music screen open.
Did you write down the title?
Yeah, I always write down so I can come back to it later.
Oh, okay. Not so you can remember, because that's a very short title to memorize
right
in the moment.
I don't always do that.
Okay.
I should say, I might have said I always. I
you
often.
Did. Often.
I yeah. often will write down the title so yeah. I can come back to it later. And not
see, you're an often guy. I'm an often guy.
And what's the next title going to be? The Asylum.
Arkham.
The Arkham Asylum.
Analysis.
Just Arkham?
That? Yeah.
Okay. So tell everybody what we're doing here tonight for news and then the second episode.
Well, this episode, we're going to talk about news.
Whoa, okay.
And any listener feedback that might have come in.
Ah, yes.
I don't know if we had any.
No real new ones. Might have some that slipped through here in the last 2 weeks. I'll take a look at that. Yeah,
last few months.
And then next episode,
We're going to talk about the Arkham video game series.
With
which
Batman.
Which is now allegedly complete. Full spoilers.
Full spoilers ahead.
Yeah.
But first, Ben, we got to tackle another animated disaster. This is crazy. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the fact that a studio had purchased the rights to an emoji movie.
Yeah.
And we're like, how is that going to happen? Today, I'm preparing the news, and I come across an article that says a movie studio has purchased the rights to make a Pez movie. Now, Ben, why don't you tell everybody what Pez is?
Well, Pez, there's Pez and the Pez dispenser. Pez itself is a little candy that they're shaped like
rectangles,
miniature bars of soap.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah. They taste a little better than miniature bars of soap, but not much. And so what you do is you get this dispenser, and it kind of has a long body. It has little feet on the bottom.
Wait,
and then,
does it have feet?
Yeah,
I can't really picture
feet. Yeah.
It's basically like feet, neck.
Yeah, the neck's really long, and then it's got a head of some fun character on the top.
Like, who was the first one that comes to your mind when you think of Pez?
A Yoda Pez dispenser.
I thought of Darth Vader.
Okay, so there you go. So,
but it's not just Star Wars.
No,
all characters.
Yeah,
you know, Mickey Mouse, I'm sure, has a Pez dispenser. I bet Captain Planet has a Pez dispenser.
Probably. So what you do is you pull up the neck, and then it comes out, and there's a little, it's like loading a gun or something, and you throw in your Pez.
Yep.
And then you lower it.
Yep.
And then what happens is every time you thumb open the head of the Pez dispenser, one more Pez comes out of the mouth.
So if you want,
and you can eat it.
So you eat candy one piece at a time by, it's basically coming out of the throat, but not through the mouth. You, like Ben said, you tip the head back and you're reaching into this neck, this exposed esophagus to pull out the candy.
Now, Pez dispensers are successful as a product because they are marketed to kids, and kids are not yet smart enough to realize it is infinitely easier to simply unwrap and eat the candy without first placing it in the Pez dispenser. There is no benefit to the Pez dispenser.
Collector's item. They're basically collector's
items.
That's
it, yes. Yeah. But if your interest is eating candy,
this is not the product for you.
It's the least efficient way to eat the Pez candy.
So, here we go.
I mean, is this like the Lego movie where they have the rights to everything that they've ever done? I can't think. I can't imagine that it would be.
No, it can't be that good. So, some company I'm not familiar with, doesn't mean they haven't done something good before, but I've never heard of Envision Media Arts.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Envision Media Arts?
No.
Well, they have the rights now, and here is, who is this? So they're making a movie with Lee Nelson and David Bulow.
Oh, all-star cast.
They're on board to produce.
Oh, okay.
And Cameron Fay is penning the script. So here's what Nelson had to say about the project.
Yeah.
Pez candy is beloved by children and maybe beloved. I'm not sure what he said. Pez candy is beloved by children and adults alike. With Cameron Fay, we've created a world unique to Pez and a story and a story that will touch the hearts of many.
Dozens.
We'll
touch the hearts of dozens.
Oh boy, Ben.
This, I mean, at least like with Lego, they look like people. This,
if they make
freakish, there's no arms.
So if you don't know what Pez dispensers are,
well,
go ahead and Google.
I think we painted a pretty solid visual picture.
Google the word Pez spelled P E Z.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a disaster.
Yeah.
Ben, right before we started recording, you had an awesome idea for a contest.
Oh, I did.
Let's announce it now, so people can start to
work
on it. Yeah. So,
voting
and give all the updates.
Yeah. So voting has been completed for the top 100 movie countdown.
Oh, man, I was gonna say drum roll. So who won? Was it characters? Was it books? Was it movies? Well, the winner is
movies. But we already knew that. Like 2 months, we already announced that. Otherwise, how would people have voted?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't know why we had a drum roll for something we announced 2 months ago.
But now the voting is completed.
It's done.
Ben has received many ballots.
Many.
This is the, I think I'm correct in saying this, we had the most responses to this content than we've had in the past.
Yes, almost 300 unique movies voted for.
Wow.
So we are again going to do a top 100. Now, the votes are mostly counted. I have one more ballot I have to add in.
Is it yours?
No.
Okay.
And then I always do a recount in case I miscounted somebody's.
Okay.
I wanted to get your votes right.
That's very good. Thank you.
If there's any ambiguities on ballots, I emailed people. Because sometimes, and I don't want to give away any movies, but, you know, there's the original and then maybe there's a remake. And a lot of people would put in the date, but not everyone would. So if there's ambiguity about the movie being voted for, I would email the people involved and find out. So all that's taken place. I've got responses from everybody I emailed. And now I just need to do the recount. And so I know what the results are, essentially. Were you trying to stop the fan over there?
I was trying to turn it on for us. It's getting hot in here.
Oh, yeah, it is getting hot in here.
Okay, so you know the results. You know the winner.
Yes.
Oh, man. So sad. I'm not going to know until... Well, we're going to pre-record these. The listeners won't know.
You'll probably know sometime in September.
And the listeners will know in December.
Yeah. So here's the contest then, okay? You all have voted for your favorites. But what we want you to do now is guess what the top 20 movies are actually going to be. Not what you voted for, but what the final results are going to be. So for example, let's say that you're you hate Attack of the Clones, but you think, oh man, people just love the prequels. So of course that's going to be a top 20 movie. So maybe you didn't vote for it, but you think, oh, that's Attack of the Clones. That's number 5 for sure. Okay, so you need to guess what the top 20 movies are going to be in the poll. And you have, for every movie you get right, you get a point. For every movie you have placed correctly, you get a point. So there's potential for 40 points. So, and then whoever gets the most will win. And if two people tie, I'll get in touch with them and say, you guys are tied, and then I'll figure out a tiebreaker. Like, maybe then they'll guess 21 through 30, or we'll figure something else out. Okay?
All right.
And then we have prizes.
We do. We have a box of prizes. Do we want to announce them now, or should we hold off on what the prizes are?
Well, let's hold off.
I'm fine either way. Okay, yeah. Hold off.
Well, I mean, do you think people will want to enter if they know the prizes?
Well, it depends.
You guys should enter anyway, and if you hate the prizes, let us know, and we'll figure something out.
No, don't say that.
Oh.
No, because these are good sci-fi prizes.
That's true.
They fit our show perfectly. I mean, I know what you mean, though. There might be some people who aren't interested, and then they may think,
yeah,
you know what?
I'm happy to give the prizes to the second place person and then watch a show of their choice like I've done in the past or whatever.
So it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
We'll tell you the prize later.
Yeah, exactly.
Enter now.
Enter now.
Nah, let's just tell them.
That's John Carter stuff.
So we announced on the show a couple months back that our friend Mike Poteet, who writes for our website, thescifichristian.com, had given us a great box of prizes. So John Carter, a sci-fi classic series. I'm not sure how many books are in there. I think 3 or 4 of the series books.
four.
And then, can you describe one of those boxes on top?
Yeah, this is the part I'm not so sure about.
These are, but what are they exactly? They're like, oh, they're, okay, so you know those Funko Pop
They're not
toys.
Funko Pop toys.
It's not them, but it's by the same company.
You know those toys that are really popular that people love to collect? We don't have those.
No, I think it's by the same company. Vinylmation? Isn't Vinylmation who
I
does?
I don't think so. I think Funko is the company that does the Funko Pop.
But they're pop vinyls.
So. Yeah, well.
So grab the other ones. Okay. So who do we got here? We've got John Carter as a vinyl. Oh, these are like Disney.
Yeah, that's why I'm not so sure about them. They all have mouse ears.
Oh, they're toys. So it's John Carter, but then they gave him mouse ears, and it's that white gorilla, but then they gave him mouse ears, and then
it's a green guy.
Tarkins, I think is his name, and he has mouse ears also. So this is basically a great prize if you love Disney or mouse ears or John Carter.
See, and that's why I didn't want to say the prize, because if it was me, and I heard I'm going to win Disney stuff, I would not enter.
I get what you're saying.
So that's why if you are like, I hate John Carter, or you're like me and you hate Disney, still enter, and we'll give the prizes to the second place
person.
Okay,
so here's what, if I understand you correctly, first place, we're going to give you a prize you want.
Yes.
And that may just be having Ben review something of your choosing.
Exactly.
Second place, you don't get a choice. You will be the recipient of these John Carter books and toys.
Or you might get nothing if the person wants this.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. Yes. I already know I had one listener who loves Disney.
Okay.
And said he wants to figure out some way to cheat to win these.
Well.
And I said, I can't. I can't let you cheat, but you can try to enter.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think these are good prizes. And especially sci-fi wise, it doesn't really match up with sci-fi movies necessarily.
Well, John Carter.
Other than the fact that there was a movie about John Carter. But books and toys. A box of books and toys is what you'll be getting sometime early next year by the time actually announced.
Now, we were having a discussion about whether to have people do the top 10 or top 20. Do you think we should do top 10 just to make it easier for people to enter?
Yeah, I do. I do. I feel like.
Okay.
That's more doable than 20.
Let's do top 10.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Because this is your idea. I don't want to mess it up.
But if there's a lot of ties, then we'll extend it. Okay? So if people want to.
So if there's a lot of ties, we will ask them to give us 10 more.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
That's how we'll deal with tiebreakers.
And the deadline?
September 30th, you said. Yeah.
Deadline is September 30th, 2015.
Yeah. So top 10.
Okay. And that will give us the October buffer, like we said, to figure out any ties.
Exactly.
Because we'll probably start airing those episodes around late October to early November.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys know this, but Ben and I, starting last year because I had a baby, and now this year, just for fun, we take off the holiday season.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, boom, taking it off.
Even New Year's.
New Year's as well. Yeah. Except for we do come back for the end of the year listener appreciation jubilee.
Right. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, speaking of that, you're going to have to start voting for that. In the fall also.
Yeah.
Every year we have you, the listeners, vote on your favorite things from the year. It could be our favorite episodes. It could be your favorite guests. It could be your favorite movie.
Have we even had any guests this year?
I'm trying to think. Have we? Yeah. Rick.
So Rick's... Congratulations, Rick.
So basically, if we don't have anybody else, the announcement will be, and this year's guest of the year, Rick Lee James.
Rick Lee James, yeah.
But who knows? Maybe we'll have some.
That's right. That's right.
Between now and then. So start preparing for the end of the year listener appreciation jubilee. Ben, should we get some more news?
We do. But I also want to say, just in case I forget, at the end, I have a sci-fi Christian story time of the time I was kind of in a movie this last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear about this.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Let's just get through some of this news then.
All right.
Well, you take, I kind of like it when you take everything you have, and then I just have whatever's left over.
Okay, well, the Pez story is pretty bizarre, you know, kind of a what the Frodo. Well, another what the Frodo from this last week that came out is, did you hear which actor, and I use the term loosely, was originally almost given the role of Jar Jar Binks in the prequels? Did you hear about
this? No, who?
Michael Jackson.
What, is that real?
That's real news.
No, I didn't hear that.
George Lucas almost cast Michael Jackson as Jar Jar Binks in Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
Well, then he would have subsequently been in Episode 2 and 3.
Right. Would this have improved the character or simply made the prequels that much worse?
I'm going to say improved it, just for the novelty. Because we already don't like him.
Exactly.
So it's not like having Michael Jackson there would have made it worse.
That's true. true. I don't know if it would have made it better, but it would have made it more, it would have been like, that was really bizarre, instead of, that was nails on the chalkboard, horrible.
Yeah, it would have been a bizarre piece of news rather than the least favorite character in Star Wars mythology.
Exactly.
So, I'm for it.
Yeah. A little Game of Thrones news. Actually, a couple of big casting news. Newses. What is the plural of news?
I think it already
news
is
items,
plural.
I think, yeah. That I'm very excited about. Ian McShane of Deadwood fame.
You love this guy.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Pirates 4.
Well, that one put him on the map. He was in the TV series Kings that I really enjoyed.
Oh, you know, I haven't watched it, but that's on my to watch list.
For next 450?
Maybe I will put it on my 450.
Why not?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful actor, and he has been cast in an unspecified role. And then Max von Sydow, the great actor from such movies as The Exorcist, and you'll see him this winter in Star Wars Episode 7, has been cast as the three-eyed Raven.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
And then one more piece of news.
Wait, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I know this won't mean much to people that haven't watched the show or seen the movie. Or sorry, or read the books. I don't know why I said movie. But Ian McShane, it's a mystery role right now. I have an idea who I think it is. Who do you want to guess?
I've heard speculation it could be a member of the Greyjoy family, because they said they're going to get back to that. I've also heard speculation it could be Randall Tarley, who is Samwell Tarley's father, which would be an interesting role.
My guess is that Ian McShane will play Crow's Eye.
Crow's Eye?
Isn't that his name? What's his name? The guy, it's one of the brothers, the one that, I don't want to give any spoilers here, but one of the Greyjoy brothers, just name them, not Victorian.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You're in
Crow,
It's Crow's Eye.
Yeah, okay.
You started saying it. Oh, yeah, you're in Crow's Eye.
Well, I know, like, the first name, but.
He's got a nickname.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, that's it. That's who I think he is. I think
maybe.
He's Euron.
Or the priest. I forget his name.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Yeah. Anyway, for this last piece of Game of Thrones news, we need a little bit of this.
Ben is right.
I am right.
Yeah, Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
I am right.
Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
All of you who have disagreed with me,
get in line, because it's apology time.
So, for the last couple years, Benioff and Wise, the creators of Game of Thrones, the showrunners, have been saying the show is going to wrap up, we wanted it to wrap up in 7 seasons. And I have said, since that news broke, not going to happen. They can do it in 8, but there's too much to get to, because now they're all the way caught up with the books. Yeah. Like I predicted, I said by end of season 5, they're going to be caught up with the books, and then just 6 and 7, that's too much to get to the end of the story by the end of season 7. I said, it's going to be season 8. Well, now they've
sure
come
enough
out this last week and said, we want to do this in 8 seasons. So Ben is right.
You are right. And HBO, the executives there, they want them to go even longer.
Well, yeah.
And so they're saying,
I mean, it just gets an enormous amount of, the ratings are off the charts for them.
Right. And so they're like, yeah, we can do 8 if they want to do more. We'll do whatever they want. This is not me just,
right.
I'm not just like, I'm paraphrasing literally what they said.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then
no,
they went on to say that they'd also be open to this team leading a prequel series.
Right. Yeah, I suspect something like that will happen in terms of a prequel series. I know Benioff and Weiss have said that they don't want to do the prequel, that they want their work in the world to be done after the main series. But,
yeah,
you know, there's, of course, the prequel novellas Martin has written, and there's an enormous amount of backstory and history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those prequel novellas, they've been released in separate publications, and now this coming fall they're being released all together.
Right.
So that's something to look forward to for fans.
Yeah.
Good. What else you got?
You want me to keep going?
Yeah, just keep going.
Okay. This is news that I don't think anyone's looking forward to. The Hobbit trilogy is returning to theaters in their extended edition.
In October, right?
In October. In case the Battle of Five Armies just wasn't long enough for you.
Yeah.
Which I know that was technically the shortest of the three, but that movie felt like it took 5 years to get through.
Oh, that's interesting. It's the shortest one, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
I felt like they just got... How did I rate these? At first I was going to say I thought they got worse and worse, but I don't know if I liked three more than two. I feel like I probably like two more, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think they got worse and worse. So, but, you know, I'm not going to, you know, mount a defense in favor of Desolation of Smaug.
But both you and I still like the first one.
Yeah.
It was promising and then just went downhill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, it completely collapsed. It was terrible. I mean, I guess we've talked about this a little bit before, so I won't rehash it too much. But I do think the third one is the worst movie. But my reaction in terms of them, the second one made me angry. Like, I was furious. Right.
I remember that.
So my emotional reaction would be the strongestly negative towards the second one.
Okay.
All right. Prometheus 2 shooting in January.
Yeah, I'm glad about
this. I'm surprised this is going to happen, but yeah, I'm glad about it.
I liked Prometheus.
Yeah, why not?
You and me were some of the only people that liked it.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
How about that?
I'm for it.
Yeah, for it. Following in the pattern of Better Call Saul, AMC has pre-renewed Fear the Walking Dead for a second season. No, I mean, not a big surprise.
No, not a surprise. I feel like they want those to go on forever. Except for, I think I just heard some sort of news that Robert Kirkman now has a plan for how he wants to end the show.
Oh, my.
So we'll see how that works out.
20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And then finally, this is the last news I have. Okay. The Lone Gunmen are coming back from the dead. They're going to be in the new X-Files series.
Yeah, little spoilers here. So sorry if you're just keeping up with us on the Excavating the X-Files series, which we're bringing back next week, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to ask you if we were going to do it next week. I think we better because we're running out of time.
Yeah, let's do it next week. So the Lone Gunmen, some of the recurring characters in X-Files, popular characters, they got their own TV show for a while, and that didn't do well. So then they brought them back to the main show and then killed them.
Right. It was kind of a series finale for their show. Yes.
Right. So now, for some reason, they're appearing in this revival. I hope it's a flashback, but I have a feeling it's not going to be flashback.
No, they obviously faked their deaths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how you said that, but that's true. So that's happening. All right. Ready for a bunch of news?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Well, this week, Fantastic Four comes out. Ben and I are planning to see it together. But the star, Miles Teller, who's going to be playing Reed Richards' Mr. Fantastic, is already defending this movie that hasn't come out yet. Did you see this
no,
morning?
No, but I know I've wanted to give the people who are predicting gloom and doom a hard time by predicting I was going to love this movie. I can't do it anymore. This movie's going to just be awful.
So Miles Teller, this is the headline, defends Fantastic Four, says it might not be critically well received. That's the headline. Here I'll go into his actual quote. We tried to make something coming from a more dramatic standpoint, so we're hoping that people enjoy it and recognize that we're trying to do something original. Rarely are films of this size critically well-received. This is not a movie we're going to go on, and they just, in parentheses, put review websites, so like Rotten Tomatoes, and it's not going to be 80 or 90%. he added, we did try to do something more than soulless popcorn action. So, I mean, Ben, maybe you like that kind of stuff.
I mean, that part's an encouraging sign. I don't know. I first of all, it's always dangerous when, if you're looking at a Rotten Tomatoes score and there's no score available and you're only a couple days before the movie, that's a studio tactic where they don't pre-screen the movie for critics.
Oh, no.
Or they'll pre-screen it but have a review embargo until like 24 hours before it comes out.
Is that the case for Fantastic Four?
I'm guessing it's probably a review embargo.
Oh no, I just looked it up on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know how many reviewers this is based on, but it's at 20% right now.
Are we sure we want to go see this?
I'm okay with skipping it, I think. Let's see. Oh, that's only based on 5 reviews.
Yeah, but still. That means only one person liked it.
Let's just wait and see. How about? Because I can't go this weekend anyways, because it's my wedding anniversary weekend.
Very good.
Thank you, yes. Yeah. Thank you for congratulating me.
Yeah, congratulations.
You're like looking away, surfing the internet. 2 years, everybody. So, can't see it this weekend.
I suppose that's pretty good.
So it'll be either next week night sometime or next weekend.
Yeah.
So that will give us some time to find out if it's getting horrible reviews, and let's just plan to not see it if that's the case.
Yeah, I think this is going to get terrible reviews. Man.
Sorry, man. I know you're really looking forward to that one. You know what I saw last week that was good?
What's that?
Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Well, that's been getting really good reviews.
I liked it. 93% in Rotten Tomatoes. I really liked it.
I've only seen the first and third one, so I feel like maybe I need to go back and rewatch the series.
Yeah, I haven't seen 1 and 2 recently. Probably been over 10 years, but 3, 4, 5, I love them.
Yeah, it seems like that critically, they, outside of 2, which I think people seem to consider the worst, they've generally been being more and more well-received over
you
the sequels.
You should watch them, and we'll do a retrospective.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Sometime in the next year.
Yeah.
Because you have to wait until it comes on video. I'm guessing you're not going to pay for Rogue Nation.
Yeah, I'm not
going to
pay
for
it. Yeah.
All right, that's in the future. So I basically, going back to the original news, I feel bad for Fantastic Four at this point. Whenever the actors are defending it before it comes out, not a great
sign. Didn't we call this like Walk the Plank, Josh? Well, that was regarding Star Wars, yeah. But...
I mean, everybody's been calling it. It's not exclusive to the sci-fi Christian. Everybody's expecting this to be horrible.
Yeah, but we did the rhyme.
That's true. Warner Brothers and Hasbro are teaming up for... Do you know what?
Yahtzee.
Nope. A new movie franchise.
Oh, dear.
Based on a game, but a role-playing game.
Oh, Dungeons and Dragons.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this has been adapted into a movie before.
This
everyone
could be okay.
Hated it.
I mean, this could be all right. I mean, I think in Christian circles, Dungeons and Dragons has always had a really bad rap.
Yeah.
I remember growing up, it was like evil to play it.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta, on par with the Ouija board.
You got to read the Jack Chick track on it. It's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think nowadays, this will probably be more of a Game of Thrones type movie.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of storytelling, though, Dungeons and Dragons has always kind of been the lowest common denominator of thoughtful fantasy.
Oh, that's not good.
So I would predict this will not be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm against it.
Yeah, me too.
Disney is looking to expand their Star Wars franchise, actually taking a page out of Marvel's book.
Oh, no.
And they're looking at finally bringing that live-action TV show to Netflix.
Yeah, I heard about this. I don't know. And this is the conflict I've had with all the Star Wars news, is that on one level it's exciting for fans, and, you know, we're going to get something that at least seems like it's going to be better than the prequels. Not that that's hard to do, but you know what I mean? But on the other hand, it's like, how much do we want to dilute this, you know? I don't necessarily want to have 15 billion hours worth of Star Wars content out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I feel like I'm for it because I've been... for over 10 years looking forward to this potential Star Wars live action TV show.
Yeah.
And then it's been off and on. And so if Netflix can revive it and they use some of those scripts that we've heard things about that seem pretty good.
George Lucas had 100 scripts written, but I doubt they're going to use those.
It'd be interesting though if they tap into that.
That would make me against it.
No, because George Lucas has good ideas, but bad execution.
Yeah.
And so if you kind of mine his ideas for the good parts.
I guess. I don't know. I don't want to watch 100 hours of George Lucas scripts of anything.
I'm for this news. Speaking of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And The Force Awakens. Of course, everyone knows that Harrison Ford broke leg or ankle on set.
Just all sorts of stuff.
I think the story goes that some sort of door that they were walking through came down and crushed his, let's just say, ankle.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
So did J.J.
J.J. on the set, J.J. Abrams, that is, the director,
right.
Tried to go help Harrison Ford.
Specified which J.J.
yeah.
Related to the Star Wars movie we're talking about.
He tried to go help Harrison Ford by pulling up this door, and it was really heavy. He broke his back. Not his entire back, of course. But,
right. He's not paralyzed.
One of his vertebrae was broken trying to save Harrison Ford.
He and Harrison Ford are just lying on the ground moaning in pain together on the set of Star Wars.
He says, I broke my L4 trying to lift this door.
That's a good rhyme, JJ.
Oh, that should have been the news. Broke my L4 trying to lift this door and other news.
Oh, do you want to go back?
Nah. I feel bad for that. I'm against that news.
Well, yeah, I'm against, you know...
anybody breaking their back, right?
Right. Well, might be a few people.
Okay, let's move on. The remake of The Crow that we've been talking about. The news was getting worse and worse, and this week we're hearing it might finally be dead.
Yeah.
I think I'm okay with this. Yeah. You didn't really like the first one.
I didn't at all like the first one.
I liked it when I saw it in the late 90s.
Right.
I haven't went back to it, so it's not something I'm really attached to. So I am okay with this being dead.
Yeah.
Sorry, Crow.
Sorry, Crow.
Neither of us watched this TV show, Sleepy Hollow, Ben.
No.
But I saw this headline. It intrigued me, so I decided to actually read the article, which I almost never do.
I think I know the headline.
The headline?
I did not read the article.
The headline was, Sleepy Hollow drops Headless Horseman from Season 3 as part of a creative shakeup.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Headless Horseman is pretty ancillary to the whole Sleepy Hollow mythos, so yeah, I mean, I can see
Ben's
that.
Being sarcastic. In case you don't know, the Headless Horseman is primary to the whole Sleepy Hollow story.
Right.
So I couldn't see how that was going to work out, but here's what this article said. This is just the article writer's opinion. Season 1 of this show was apparently pretty good, and Season 2 went off the tracks. And so they're trying to revamp things by keeping only 3 of the actors of this whole cast. So they had a list of like 4 or 5 people that are not returning for Season 3, including what's Walter Bishop's real name? Noble.
Oh, John Noble.
John yeah. Noble. He was a part of the cast, and they dropped him.
Who we'll be talking about some on the next episode.
Oh, really?
Yes. He's an actor in the Arkham series.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting news. I'm not going to go back and watch this show, I don't think.
No.
But
why would that news make you want to go back and rewatch it?
Well, this
it was so bad, we had to fire everyone.
The reviewer made Season 1 sound pretty good, but all right, we'll move on. Chris Pine has signed on to star opposite of Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
DC's Wonder Woman in movies. Chris Pine will be playing Steve Trevor.
All right.
Do you know him?
No.
He's Wonder Woman's boyfriend, basically. I don't know anything else about him other than he's military.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to have Chris Pine been a hero. Like, it's not that Steve Trevor's not a hero, but I mean like superhero part of the Justice League.
Yeah. Speaking of bad movies that you're skipping because they get bad reviews, did you decide to repent of your plans to go see Pixels?
I did, yes. I thought the trailer looked good, but apparently this is one of the worst movies that Adam Sandler and humans have ever put out.
That's saying something. I mean, from the man who came up with Click, and Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I loved reading. Oh, you and me were Facebooking about this.
Yes.
Some of the headlines were really bad about how
they were
poor
really
this movie was.
Yes. I'm glad that you... You didn't do it.
I did not do it.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum, over the last 2 weeks, has dropped out of the Fox movie Gambit about the X-Man that is named Gambit.
Yeah.
But then he also has, in the last 2 weeks, signed back on to play this character.
Do you think he looked at the promotional stills from X-Men Apocalypse, realized that everybody looks like Power Rangers villains?
Yes.
And decided he didn't want to do that?
I don't know what happened, because he's been wanting this for a long time. I mean, 2 weeks ago when we recorded, he was Gambit. It was already a signed...
Yeah.
Deal. Then all of a sudden he was out, and then in the last 2 days back in. So I'm not sure what's happening here.
But came back to him with a lot of money.
Yeah, not a good sign.
Have you seen the pictures of Apocalypse?
Yes.
They look bad.
I know it looks bad, but I'm willing to just wait and see and give things the benefit of the doubt.
Well,
but
it doesn't mean that the movie is going to be bad.
Didn't get the character right.
No.
In fact, I saw a funny article comparing cosplayers doing Apocalypse to how Bryan Singer chose to do Apocalypse, and it's kind of sad how bad the movie version is compared to some cosplayers.
Well, the comparison I heard, which is where I stole my Power Rangers line from, was to the Power Rangers character Ivan Ooze, who I had to look up.
I don't remember Ivan Ooze.
So everybody else can Google this, but doesn't
that
Apocalypse
looks like
looked exactly like Ivan Ooze from the Power Rangers.
Yeah, I love Apocalypse as a villain. Yeah. I've read a lot of comics with him in it, and yeah, I'm bummed about how bad it looks, but we'll see. The movie might still be good.
Maybe.
The TV show Legends of Tomorrow have cast Hawkman. They already had a Hawk Girl. And now
what show is this?
Legends of Tomorrow is the third spinoff from the Arrow universe. Third show. So Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Also, they cast Vandal Savage, if you're interested in that.
Oh, no.
You like, how are you liking this season's True Detective?
I like it more than most people do. I don't think it's anywhere near as good as the first season. I think it's really come together in the last few weeks, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I think that if it wasn't being compared to the first season, it'd be getting a lot better reviews. It's very complicated. Like, it's hard to follow. It's one that I think you almost need to rewatch to get it. I've been really impressed by Colin Farrell and Rachel McAdams, especially. Mm-hmm. Not anywhere near to the level of Matthew McConaughey last year. So there's no McConaissance this year.
Okay.
But I've been enjoying it.
Rachel McAdams has or is being approached by Marvel to play the female lead in Doctor Strange. So
I don't.
You just said she can be a good actress. You like Benedict Cumberbatch?
I do, but it seems to me like, you know, I haven't watched a lot of Rachel McAdams' filmography, but I've seen The Notebook.
Everybody's seen The Notebook.
It's a terrible movie, and she's terrible in it. And so I think that she's somebody like, this is dark material for her in True Detective. So I don't. Maybe in that sense there is a comparison to Matthew McConaughey, even though her performance isn't as brilliant as his was, but where, you know, he'd been the goofy guy walking around without his shirt on in all these stupid movies, and then they put him in something like True Detective. It's like, whoa, this guy can act. I think it's something similar with her, where it's like, okay, she needs the right material, and I don't see a comic book movie as being that for her.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, Ben, I know that you, along with hundreds of other people, thousands maybe, are looking forward to Heroes Reborn.
Oh, yeah.
Not really.
No. You know, I had a dream I was watching season 3.
I watched some of it in preparation for our rant episode.
I have to just discipline myself and get to it. I know.
Yeah, so I've been watching a little bit of season 3 on mute while I'm walking around the house doing other chores.
It probably improves it.
Yeah. But the news of this week is that, much like they did during Heroes, they are doing a web series that you can follow online, of course.
Oh, webisodes.
Yes, webisodes. Yeah, so
who doesn't love webisodes?
So Heroes Reborn prequel web series is now available online.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember Jeri Ryan from Star Trek Voyager? She played the Borg girl.
Yeah.
She's joining Arrow season 4.
Well, that's good.
Back to Game of Thrones. Did you hear this week, or maybe it was last week, that one of the actors, I think the guy that plays Jorah Mormont, mentioned in an interview that the showrunners actually discourage the actors from reading the books?
Yes, I saw that.
What was, I forgot the reasoning behind that.
Well, I mean, I think it's just that the show has followed the books closely, but at times there are differences, and they want them to draw their interpretation from the scripts as written rather than from the novels as they're written.
That makes sense.
Speaking of Game of Thrones, I just remembered this, and I'll say this vaguely to avoid spoilers. But if you know the conspiracy theories about a certain character who...
We don't know the parents.
...may or may not have died in the last season, and lots of people think he isn't going to be truly dead, well, that actor has been spotted in Belfast, where the entire cast is congregated for table readings of the scripts. So we have a spotting of this fellow.
Oh.
Or woman. It could be a girl.
Yes, me and you were both. I don't think we were on the same page for what news I thought you were. I did not know that's what you were about to announce.
You know who I'm talking about.
I do now, but when you first started, I didn't know what you were going to say. Well, back to Marvel.
Yeah.
Spider-Man reboot in the works. They have signed on John Francis Daly and Jonathan M. Goldstein to write the new movie.
And they're supposedly not going to revisit the origins.
Yes. Yeah. Who are they? Do you know who those guys are?
No clue.
I have the article open. I'm trying to get to the bottom of this, and this article just has their names. Have they never... They must have done something in the past. Well,
I think writers are pretty interchangeable for Marvel.
Here we go. John Francis Daly, it looks like he might be a writer on the TV show Bones, and he played a character in the show Freaks and Geeks.
Well, that definitely qualifies you to... rewrite the first Spider-Man movie.
Jonathan M. Goldstein, on the other hand, wrote Horrible Bosses.
Oh, I did not like that movie.
So those two guys, like you said, they are not going to be revisiting the origin. There's still speculation about who the villain is going to be. I have a guess myself. Today there was a rumor that it might be Kraven the Hunter. I don't think that's the case. Who do you think is going to be the villain in the new Spider-Man movie?
Oh, man. Vulture.
That's not a bad guess. That's not a bad guess.
That's completely a random guess.
Well, it's a character that's well known and never been used, so that's a good guess. I'm going to go with Chameleon. Do you know Chameleon?
I have no idea. I assume that he can blend into things.
His power set isn't extraordinary. It's just he's a master of disguise, and
right.
He doesn't blend into things. He just changes his appearance. So I don't think he's even a shapeshifter. I think he just is a really good... master of disguise, basically.
That's not a great villain.
It is a great villain because he also is a mob boss. And I think they could with...
If you're a mob boss, you don't have to disguise yourself because you have the mob.
So what I think... The reason I think this is a good choice is for a number of reasons. Number one, Chameleon was featured... He was the featured villain in the very first issue of Amazing Spider-Man. So that's one thing in his corner.
Googling him.
Number two... Another reason I think he'd be good is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, in some ways, they try to remain more grounded. I feel like Chameleon is a pretty grounded villain. If he doesn't really have any superpowers. So...
It certainly doesn't.
Wait, what do you mean?
All he does is wear disguises. I could do that.
Let me see if I can get some more details on the Chameleon. Yeah, see, look, here's a picture of him right here, just taking a mask off.
Yeah, I've got the same picture.
Okay, so what do you think?
So is he metal underneath?
No, I'm not sure. No, I know what you're looking at. That's just a different mask. I don't know why
he's got masks on top of masks.
Like, I'm not sure what he actually looks like, to be honest.
Eventually, I think that probably starts to stand out. The masks pile on top of one another, and your head looks abnormally large.
Here's something interesting. I didn't know this until I'm reading Wikipedia. He's the half-brother to Kraven the Hunter.
Oh.
So maybe there is going to be a connection between those two. I've heard somebody else on a different podcast say, and I agree with this, that Kraven the Hunter would be a better sequel villain than a first villain.
Yeah.
Unless, though, but they're not doing an origin. The reason I say that is because Kraven the Hunter is a world-renowned hunter who's always able to get his prey, and so he seeks out Spider-Man because he feels like this would be the toughest prey, and if he can get this, he is a master hunter.
Yeah.
But the reason at first I thought it wouldn't be a good first movie villain is because you have to establish who Spider-Man is.
Right.
But if they're skipping the origin, you could just assume that everybody's heard of Spider-Man, and so it's okay. So
I'm going to go ahead and say too soon for Kraven in light of the whole Cecil the Lion controversy.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Mark Hamill has signed on to voice the Joker once again, this time in the animated movie adaptation of Batman the Killing Joke.
Yeah, that should be good.
And we're going to be talking about Mark Hamill in the next episode because he voiced the Joker in the Arkham Asylum series of video games.
For the last time. And then he voiced it again for the last time and again for the last time.
Yeah, just
and now once again, with the Killing Joke, he is voicing the Joker for the last time.
Let's see. What should I tell you? What should I say for the last news of the day? I'll say something lame again. So Jurassic World is now the number 3 movie of all time. Has surpassed the Avengers at the box office.
That's crazy.
San Andreas director Brad Paynton is re-teaming with Dwayne The Rock Johnson for Rampage.
Yeah.
I never saw San Andreas. What a bummer. Should have made that a priority this summer.
You didn't support Carlton.
Yeah, I know. I messed
up. Or did you even support Damon Lindelof with Tomorrowland?
Never made it to that either.
Oh, the lost loyalty is failing.
It's been 5 years.
It's time to move on.
Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard, the stars of Jurassic World, have signed on for the sequel.
You know what I think it is that you didn't watch The Leftovers. And at that point, it was like you had missed a Damon Carlton production. Not that they were both involved. And then you didn't watch Bates Motel, and you didn't watch The Strain and all these other ones Carlton Cuse is doing. And so slowly but surely, by not watching all those shows, your streak was broken. And then what's the point?
What's the point?
Yeah.
I didn't really have a streak necessarily, but I see
what
you're saying.
I think you did.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And finally, Ben.
Last news of the day.
Going back to our sci-fi movie countdown, a classic sci-fi movie, Logan's Run, is about to be revived. They're remaking Logan's Run, and the person heading this up is Simon Kinberg, the man in charge of the Fox Marvel movies.
I don't know if anyone even voted for Logan's Run.
It's a classic.
Not according to our audience.
You know, we didn't mention this, but when we do the countdown again, just like we did last year and the year before, we'll have a runners-up episode
where
we just briefly read through all the movies that didn't make it into the top 100. It's more fun than it sounds.
No, I'm going to... There's a couple that we'll pause on in the runners-up to spend a few more minutes on, and I won't say anything more than that, but there's a couple in there that even though they're just runners-up, they deserve a little conversation and perhaps defense as to why someone might have voted for them.
I'm really looking forward to start recording these episodes.
Yeah, next week.
You want to record a first one next week?
Yeah, we can. I'll be ready.
We have the whole X-File thing that we're doing. That will take some time. Unless we could move news to every 2 weeks.
Yeah. Or we could spend less time on the X-Files.
No, that's my priority. Okay. News is not the hugest priority.
Well, we can do news in 2 weeks.
Logan's Run came out in 1976. It's about time for a remake. Simon Kinberg, like I mentioned, he, besides working with the X-Men and Fantastic Four movies, and Deadpool for that matter, and Gambit, yeah. I bet, he also has been helping out with the Star Wars franchise. He's a producer on the upcoming Star Wars anthology film. He has helped create the animated series Star Wars Rebels. So, man, this guy's really involved in some of our favorite properties right now.
Yeah.
So what could go wrong?
A lot. Well, I guess not a lot from my perspective, because I don't even know what Logan's Run is about.
Ben, you said you want to do story time. Do you want listener feedback first or story time first?
Well, we got a story time's always the end.
All right, then yeah. Time for some listener feedback. Do you want to read yours that you have?
I have none.
All right. Aaron wrote in and said, Matt and Ben. Then he has a whole thing about, or Ben and Matt, not to needlessly stir up controversy, but in which order to emailers, which order do emailers typically place your names? I'd say usually Ben and Matt.
It is alphabetical.
It is alphabetical, and yeah. I'm much less easily offended than Ben.
But Aaron, I'm not, it's okay that you you put Matt first this time. This time.
Aaron says, I likely never would have read Dante without the Sci-Fi Christian read-along, so thank you, in big letters, for what has been one of the most enjoyable and stimulating literary experiences of my life.
Well, you're very welcome, Aaron. I'm glad, and this goes to all the people who made it through. First, you know, congratulations to everybody who read along, because it is a difficult book, and it was a lot of fun. We got to do something like that next year, for sure.
He goes on to say, like most, I struggled through Paradiso, though it was comforting to hear that Dante clearly intended it to be a struggle, but found the experience rewarding nonetheless. And I can say for myself, I totally agree with Aaron there. He writes on, I appreciated so many things about the Divine Comedy, helped in large part by Ben's terrific videos and the essays and endnotes in Ciardi's translation. But the thing that routinely kept blowing me away was Dante's use of structure both on macro and micro levels. From the terza rima to his precision with numbers, both used as symbols within the narrative, but also on a meta level with the numbering of the cantos, to the geography of the worlds themselves, as well as, I'm sure, hundreds of other examples, large and small, the scholars have identified. As these obviously intentional structural items were pointed out to me, the only words that kept coming to my mind was genius. And so, in closing, I wanted to thank you, Ben, in particular, for your deliberate nod to Dante's structural genius in crafting the read-along. Like Dante, you gave careful consideration to the structure of the reading experience, namely using Lent, Easter, and Pentecost as milestone points during the read-along, as well as the decision to switch from a Friday to Sunday release schedule for the videos. These structural gestures were in the spirit of the poem and helped me become further immersed in Dante's world. As always, keep up the great work, Aaron.
Well, you're welcome, Aaron, and I did structure the read-along deliberately. As all of you who kept up with the reading schedule know, and were thus able to...
Come on.
just giving Matt a hard time. No, you're welcome. I'm very touched to hear that it was helpful to you and to everyone else out there. That type of response is why I wanted to do it, and I'm glad that it had that effect. You know, Dante is a genius, and like you said, Aaron, there's not only the stuff that is easily seen in terms of his structural genius, but there's just, I mean, we've done a lot of hours this year on the comedy, and we could do 10 times as many and only begin to scratch the surface.
I have one more here from Aaron. You mind if I just read another one for you?
Oh, go for it.
This one's in response to our Fate versus Free Will time loop we played a couple of weeks back. Aaron writes in, count me in as one of the Time Loop fans. I started listening in around episode 80, and so it's been wonderful over the last couple of years to catch up on season 1. Fate versus Free Will was another gem. I'd be curious to know where both of you stand on the debate from three to 4 years ago. Obviously, I'm sure Ben's conversion to... I should say before I go on, we were talking a lot about predestination, yeah, versus free will, but we also threw in some talk on open theism.
Right.
So just be wary for those. I'm sure Ben's conversion to Catholicism has had an impact, though perhaps not that great of an impact, from the little I understand about it. Catholics seem to be fine with the unresolved tension between divine foreknowledge and free will, which is very similar to what Ben expressed in this episode. I'd be curious to know if Matt is still dabbling in open theism land. Okay, let's tackle those two before we move on. I'll just say I was exploring it, but not necessarily as something to start to take on wholeheartedly. I just was interested in the fact that this existed, and I did read a lot on it.
You wrote a paper for one of your classes, yeah, on it, didn't you?
Yeah, that, and you know, being in grad school at the time helped because I was required to read certain theological texts, and or I mean, I could choose from different choices and decide to study and write on open theism. In the end, I took an opposed stance to, yeah, open theism, but I still really think it's an interesting way of thinking. Ben, what do you think? I think he probably encapsulated your thoughts there.
Aaron got it there pretty well. I'd say that was an area where I was probably already pretty much, even if I didn't recognize it in those terms, coming around to the Catholic position on that it's, you know, it's really both and rather than either or. And that debate is particularly interesting from a Catholic perspective because it usually is termed in terms of, or phrased in terms of, Calvinism versus Arminianism, both of which are post-Reformation in terms of where they developed. Mm. So Catholic thought doesn't necessarily have a great deal to say on the Calvinist-Arminian debate.
Aaron writes about open theism. I've been studying open theism some more, and while I don't wholeheartedly embrace it, I do know that there are some common misconceptions about the view. Perhaps the biggest misconception is that open theism limits God's knowledge. You know, maybe we should right now give a quick definition. So open theism essentially means that God knows everything that could happen,
yes,
but he doesn't know necessarily exactly what will happen, which allows for free will. So again, he knows every possibility. He just doesn't for sure know which choice you and Ben and me will choose. Although because he knows us so intimately, he has a really good idea of what we're going to choose, but technically
he's a good guesser.
Yeah, but technically because of free will, he doesn't know for a fact what we'll choose. So because of that, we can surprise him.
Yeah.
And he can regret our decisions, which are different things that happen in the Bible. Okay. So he says perhaps the biggest misconception is that open theism limits God's knowledge. In other words, since the future is unresolved, God can't know the future. The open theist, on the other hand, would say that an infinitely intelligent God knows all possible futures. Oh boy, I think I just already defined what he's about to say. This common analogy that is used is a game of chess. In a determinist view, God would essentially be playing for the opponent, ensuring that every single move was predetermined and made precisely according to plan. The open theist would say that God does not control what the opponent does, but because he's infinitely intelligent, he knows every possible combination of moves and can thus be assured of victory in the end. In short, the open theist would say that God does indeed know everything, including every possible future. The question becomes whether the future includes actual possibilities or whether the future has already been fixed. Personally, I tend to believe a hybrid. Real possibilities with certain fixed points along the way, such as the circumstances surrounding the incarnation.
Yeah, I think that from a Catholic perspective, where open theism would get kicked out would be, especially if you're coming out from a Thomist perspective, Thomas Aquinas, is that the mistake that analogy would make from a Catholic perspective is that God is in the same time as we are, and Catholics would reject that. And so that's the fact that God is in eternity and we are in time. And those are two very different things, is how we have real possibilities, but God still has perfect foreknowledge of everything else. The problems that open theism is answering are created by placing God essentially within the same timeline we are. Yeah. And that's what Catholic doctrine would reject.
Nice. Yeah, and if you want to hear more about that open theism talk, it was back in our Fate versus Free Will time loop. Aaron concludes here by referencing a new theory that you had made up during that episode, and I don't remember exactly what you said, but I do remember that we called it Debonism.
Yeah.
So he says, I also really appreciated your conversation on the elect, tracing the concept back to the Abrahamic covenant. In this regard, I am 100% a Debonist. Many often look at election as going to heaven and escaping hell. However, a careful reading of God's promise to Abraham, the same promises as Paul argues, that the church has inherited reveals that election carries a responsibility to be a blessing in the world. In other words, wherever we fall on the determinism versus free will divide, our lives must be lived for the benefit of others, providing others with opportunities to experience the grace and goodness of God. Aaron.
Yeah. That's I think demonism turned out to actually have quite a bit of common in, with Catholic teaching as well. So,
watch out for that.
Yeah. It's like Chesterton begins orthodoxy with this whole fable of a man who sets out to discover a new world and winds up discovering his own country again or whatever. That's kind of what happened with me on a very variety of theological topics before my conversion, where I thought I had all these great insights, and then I realized the Catholic Church had been saying things very similar to them for thousands of years, and I was just way behind.
That's
so that, there you go.
You know, you bringing that up, again, your story of how you became a Catholic, reminded me, last year we did an episode called Good Advice from Ben DeBono, where people sent in questions about Catholicism, but also lots of other things. I think there was a question about your love of beer.
Yes.
There was a question.
My love of swearing.
Was there one about... Oh, yeah. There was somebody who questioned if it's okay for you to swear and also be a Christian, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Well, this year, we're going to do questions for both Ben and Matt.
Yeah.
Again, it'll probably be one of our hiatus episodes, so we'll pre-record it. But since we're here in the feedback section, we want to tell you right now, start sending in those questions. But I thought this year, maybe we talk about... Maybe right now, in preparation, we should tell people some of our specialties in case they're interested in specific... I mean, you can ask us anything.
Yeah.
But, for example... Ben is really good at books.
Wow, I like
literary knowledge.
If I can just jump in here,
I'm
good at the three B's.
Okay,
books, beer, bicycling.
Oh, okay, that's pretty good. So if you have some questions on those, Ben would be somebody to go to. If you have questions about pop culture, television, movies,
Lost
in particular, that's me. I also became a father recently, so I have lots of great answers for parents out there. I have 9 months of fathering experience. My baby just turned 9 months last year, or last week, not last year,
no,
last week. What else am I good at, Ben?
You're good at podcasting.
Yeah, podcasting. If you have some podcasting questions for Ben or me, I mean, we've been doing this for almost 5 years. January is going to be our 5-year anniversary. So if you have podcasting questions, this is going to be a great place.
You're a good recruiter. You've done a lot of recruiting.
Oh, yeah, lots of
my
different jobs. I'm also in fundraising.
Yeah. So if you have questions about how to make people feel welcome, Matt's good at that.
Yeah, and even though we have a lot...
I'm not.
Even though we have a lot of pop culture questions, we try to mix in the theology like Aaron was just writing in about. And both Ben and I have our Masters of Arts in Theological Studies. And Ben, on top of that, has...
Masters of Theology.
So I have Masters of Arts in Theological Studies, and you have a Masters of Theology.
Yeah, but we both have advanced degrees in the field, so get us both up with that.
Yeah, so we can ask or we can answer some of those questions. So this is just a teaser. Maybe we'll think of some more things we're good at.
Yeah.
For example, I like to run. Ben likes to bike.
Why? That was one of the three B's.
I know. I'm just saying. It reminded me. You may not know this.
I'm sorry that your skills can't be alliterated like mine.
You may not know this, listeners, but I've actually ran 2 marathons in my lifetime.
Wow.
And various half marathons.
Yeah.
And even more various 5Ks.
Right.
So pretty into running.
I'm good at jigsaw puzzles, but that doesn't start with B, so I didn't include it.
When I was about to get married 2 years ago, we did a marriage advice for Matt episode in which the listeners sent in their marriage advice. But guess what, people? I'm ready to give you some marriage advice.
So if
you have questions, send them here to feedback@thescifichristian.com.
Marriage advice from Matt. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Marriage advice from Matt. Well, I mean, but that could just be part of this episode where we give good answers.
True. Yeah.
What was it called again? Good
advice.
Good advice. Yeah.
Matt and Ben.
Good advice from Matt and Ben. All right. Yeah. Well, let's go to story time, Ben.
All right.
It's Sci-Fi Christian story time.
So I was kind of, sort of, not really in a movie this last week. Like, not just a home movie,
because
I could be in those anytime.
Right.
But no, an actual movie that was being filmed.
Where?
So this is what happened. So last Friday, I live in the town of Ramsey, Minnesota.
Okay.
And just a few miles north of me is the town of Now Then, Minnesota.
All right.
I don't know why it's called Now Then.
But it's one word.
N-O-W-T-H-E-N. Yeah, it's one word. I have a little bit of a caffeine problem.
Okay.
So I went up there to get some energy drinks. because once you get hooked on caffeine, you kind of need it. That's why it's called being hooked on caffeine.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went up there to get some Monster energy drinks because I was out. And so I went to Bill's gas station.
Okay.
And now that I pull into Bill's gas station and I get out of my car, and there taped to the window is a notice that says, and I'm paraphrasing because I didn't take a picture of it, by entering Bill's gas station, you are agreeing to or signing over your rights to appear in this movie called Miles Between Us by such and such production
company. Did you look it up?
Everything. Oh, I did. Let's go. I'm going to get there. Yeah. And so I walk in there, and sure enough, there's a film crew in there, and they are filming one of the characters filling up a drink at the soda fountain.
Wow.
So I was not in the shot, but I was behind the shot. That's why I said I'm kind of, you might be able to hear me in the movie.
You're likely not in this movie.
Likely not in this movie, but I went, you know, and I got my stuff and I paid for it and I left and I go home. And it turns out that Miles Between Us is an independently funded Christian movie.
Whoa, Ben, we got to get these guys on the show.
So, yeah, they're based right out of here. I think they have an Indiegogo campaign.
Okay.
Where they've raised something like $1,000 out of $20,000. So okay. They're well on their way.
Well, and they need help. So this is a good promo. This is like free advertising them.
So should Miles Between Us, which I assume it's going to be successful because they're already shooting it.
Yeah.
You know, if this movie comes out and it's, you know, it's the next... it's the next God's Not Dead.
Yes.
Or something. And so you're going to your theater and you see the scene of the character in the gas station filling up the drink. I was there for one of those takes. It might not be the take that was in the final movie, but I'm behind the camera, like not filming it, but literally walking behind the camera.
Oh my gosh.
To feed my caffeine addiction. This is
amazing.
That scene.
All right, everybody. If you're out there and you know the people behind this movie, have them contact us at feedback@thescifichristian.com. If we're interested, maybe we'll have them on the show, but no promises. A
Christian blockbuster. What can you say?
Yeah. All right. Is that the end?
That's the end of the story.
And the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Well, as we've mentioned numerous times, next episode's about a Batman video game series I've never played. I don't really know anything about it. Ben's going to be leading this conversation.
That's about Batman.
Where as we analyze Arkham. Well, that's what I'm hearing. I'm Matt Anderson.
Batman. I'm Benji Bono. Batman.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians.
Batman.
Signing off.
Bye.